About 8 years or so ago, I applied for a job in Philadelphia that I thought I was the perfect applicant for. It was a job similar to what I do now at Marist with regard to running a pre-health program. I had done everything I could to prepare. Researched the college I was interviewing at, researched the people I was interviewing with. I had both the right answers and the credentials for this job. The day I spent with the members of the department had gone very well, and I really thought I was going to get the job. Well, clearly, I'm not living in Philadelphia. And not getting the job was a major defeat and a blow to my ego. I know that many of us have had stories or situations that we pictured would go one way, but then something discouraging or painful happens instead. So imagine a young man dropping to his knees before Jesus. He had eagerly and honestly sought him out to learn more and was so ready to believe in Jesus' teachings and hear the good news. But then what he hears is an instruction to do something that seems utterly impossible. He has spent his entire life doing and not doing everything that he had been told would make him a godly person. So having eternal life should have been a slam dunk, right? Maybe a few more tweaks here or there. But his life suggested it should have been secure. Yet Jesus' instruction is much more than he ever dreamed, and I can imagine that it was like a dagger through his soul, especially since his riches, the one thing he was being told to get rid of, should have been a clear indicator that he had found favor with God. Imagine the shock of the disciples as they witness this, seeing what to them appears to be the embodiment of the perfect godly person. He followed the commandments, and he had that wealth which was understood to be due to God's approval. But instead of a few nice words about this pious person, they hear Jesus say that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were so shocked that all they could do was respond, "Well, then who can be saved?" If I had been there, I probably would have been undergoing a bit of an existential crisis, wondering who in the world I had decided to follow. We've spent the last 6 weeks or so hearing a variety of lessons from Mark's gospel that have not always been easy to hear. Some of them maybe even a little bit strange. We heard that we should cut off limbs that cause us to sin, that we should have salt in ourselves, that we should be like children, community members with the lowest standing, that divorcing and remarrying is adultery. We could take all of these teachings literally and at face value, but the meaning goes so much deeper. Yes, today's particular lesson is about money and possessions, and we could get caught up in discussing the good and the evil of wealth in some abstract way. But on a deeper level, this lesson is about the human instinct for self-preservation and security. Jesus is reminding his disciples and telling that rich young man that eternal life is not about self-preservation, but about self-sacrifice. It is not about me, it is about we. So again, we see this turning upside down of what human nature and human society tells us is important. In fact, Jesus describes this upside down way of thinking at the end when he says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Jesus is putting it out there that if we care for each other, rather than focus on ourselves, our communities and loves will be so much better. But the reality is that for centuries, for millennia, most humans have held tightly to that instinct to preserve one's self, one's immediate family, one's social status, one's possessions, one's whatever. When Jesus was talking to the rich man, we hear, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, he loved him. This is the one place in Mark's gospel where it is written that Jesus loved a specific person. Of course, we know that Jesus loved many and continues to love many. But this statement from Mark is significant. In this young man, Jesus sees that something is amiss. Something is lacking in this man's faith life. And out of love, right? Out of love, not the desire to condemn or shame or make him feel bad, but out of love, Jesus is trying to help him get back on track. Now, Mark has given us very few details about this rich young man. We know that he thought very highly of his possessions because he left completely dejected at the idea that he would have to sell them and give his money to the poor. But there also seems to be a little bit of a recognition that even though this young man seems to have it all, he realizes he doesn't. Otherwise, he would not have sought out Jesus. The young man had kept the commandments and was financially secure, so why ask what else that he needs to do to earn eternal life? Another interesting point is that Jesus is not telling the young man to just separate himself from his wealth. So if you think back to the times that Jesus called the disciples, they were told just to leave everything behind and follow him. In this particular story, Jesus tells the young man to redistribute his wealth to those in the community in need. We don't know how he came about his possessions or how he used them, but this might say something about the community in which the man was living and how his wealth affected that community. So now, do we all go out and sell everything we have, giving all of those proceeds to the poor? No, I don't think that would really make sense in this particular community at this time, in this space, in our world. But we should go out and find a way to build Christian community and share the love of God at this time and place. We may not be selling all that we have to give to the poor, but I do want to invite you. And I want to invite you in the same way that Jesus invited the young man out of love to look at those areas in your life that might get in the way of being able to fully and truly accept the forgiveness and eternal life that is offered by God. I also want to invite you to think about those things that affect the communities that you are a part of. Not about shaming or condemning, but about celebrating those ways that we positively impact our communities, but also having an open heart to see where we could and should make changes to help our communities even more. Jesus tells the disciples that when sacrifices are made for the good of a community and for the sake of the gospel, all of that is returned in greater proportion. In other words, the whole becomes so much greater than the sum of its parts. How can we continue to bless ourselves and our communities so that we show a glimpse of God's kingdom here and now? In the end, we don't really know what happened to that rich young man. We might assume that he left, continued to be attached to his riches throughout his life, and gave up on Jesus and his own faith since there was nothing he could do anyway. But maybe the opposite happened, and he sold his belongings and became one of the many who helped share the gospel to get the Christian church started. We don't know how these words affected this young man once the shock and the disappointment were less raw. What we can know is how these words affect us. And frankly, they make me feel a little uneasy. I am deeply conditioned to value financial security. But in this lesson, I also hear that while it might be impossible for me to save myself and get myself into God's kingdom, it is not impossible for God. And therein lies the hope. Amen.